Please take your Bible and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. Our text this morning is going to be verses 1 through 11. And naturally, we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." And we'll stop reading there. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this wonderful meaning behind this day, the Easter Sunday, the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. What a wonderful day to be in church and to celebrate that together. Thank you again for each one that's here and for the great singing that we just had, and for the scriptures that remind us that our Savior is alive, and the songs that remind us of the same thing. Lord, help us to remember that, celebrate that today, enjoy that today. Tell others about that today. Many, many folks still don't know, and we should be a witness to them and tell them gently and sweetly. Bless us today, Lord, as we go through the outline. May this message be an encouragement to everyone who's here, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I did want to say this for all of us who are here, and especially those who came to the brunch this morning and had their tummies full, and now you're sitting on a comfortable chair in a nice warm room, and I know that some will have a temptation to fall asleep on me. In fact, I even had one who said to me, "Make sure that you pound the pulpit some and speak loudly some, to help keep us awake for this service." So I'll do my very best. I don't know that they had this on this day, but did you notice the Bible says in verse number 6, "After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present." And this is for those who might be sleepy, but some are falling asleep. Now, I know the Apostle Paul was talking about some had already passed on. I understand that. But it made me think about different ones. And I know how it is sometimes, especially after you do have your tummy full and the room is warm and the seat is comfortable. It's easy to nod off, perhaps. But I'll do my best to hold your attention. And today we want to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not just because it's Easter, but any time we get together to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is, in my opinion, without doubt, one of the foundational truths of our Christian faith. If our Savior is still dead, if he's been crucified and he's still in the tomb, then we're in a mess. We're without hope. We don't have any hope of resurrection ourselves. The reason we have a hope of a resurrection ourselves is because our Savior is not dead, but our Savior is alive. And he himself rose from the dead on the third day following his crucifixion. So today we want to talk about that as a topic of our message today. And I'm going to give you three main thoughts. And the first main thought is this: the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an important element of the gospel. And that's mentioned in verses 1 through 4. Notice it again: moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, what? The gospel. You see that? Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's the gospel. The gospel story actually has three different parts. One, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Two, he was buried. Three, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. When you talk to someone else about salvation and heaven and eternal things, always make sure as you share the gospel that you bring in all three portions: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior, and that he did that for them. Because it's believing on that that a person can be born again. You notice Paul also said here in this letter to the Corinthians in verses 1 and 2 that they received this gospel, they stood upon this gospel, and they were saved by this gospel. That's found in verses 1 and 2. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a very important element of the gospel. And what it does for us, of course, is allowing us to be saved from our sins and have our names forever sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Gives us the promise of eternal life in heaven. I've thought about this a lot, naturally, over the last couple of days because of Bonnie's passing and the fact that we will see her again. By the way, we say it this way, don't we? Bonnie is dead. But is she really dead? No, in truth, she's more alive than she's ever been. And she doesn't have any more aches and pains. Her hearing is perfectly fine. Her sight is perfectly fine. Her limbs all work just perfectly fine. Her memory is perfectly fine. I mean, she's enjoying that glorified body that our Lord has given to her. And of course, she's already met with, I'm sure, many of our members who went on before her, and relatives and friends that you and I have that have gone on before her. She's met them all, and most importantly of all, she's met up with Jesus, her Savior. And she's thanking him and praising him for what he did for her on the cross and with the tomb and the resurrection and so forth. She's so very thankful for that and telling him so, I'm sure. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an important element of the gospel. Sometimes today, it's possible for people to invite folks to church and forget about the gospel, or bring them to a church that's not teaching and preaching the gospel clearly, or giving them a tract, a gospel, we call it this, don't we, a gospel tract that's really weak on the gospel. There are a lot of tracts out there that are very weak on the gospel. So make sure, this is a very important element of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Make sure that when you share the gospel with others, that you emphasize his death, his burial, his resurrection, because all of that is so very important to a person coming to know Jesus as their personal Savior and being saved. We want folks to get saved, right? Amen. We want them to know the gospel and to get saved. And so we do our best, hopefully, to share that with them. I'm glad for the resurrection, and I'm glad that because our Savior rose from the dead, one day, of course, Bonnie's body will be risen, and so will my mom and dad and many others that we all know and love very, very much. Number one, again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an important element of the gospel. Number two, just three main thoughts today. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an important element in our faith. Not only an important element of the gospel, it's also an important element in our faith. In this same chapter, notice verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know, things haven't changed all that much, have they? Because people still deny the resurrection. It's really too bad. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We'll stop reading right there. Verses 12 to 19 shows us here that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not only an important element of the gospel, it's also an important element in our faith. In our faith. As it is now, even so it was when this was written, there are, and I guess there will always be, people who denied the resurrection. You know, we saw this earlier when we were reading our text today, how that it says in verse 5, and that he was seen, Jesus was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, of course, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Look at all the different individuals that the Apostle Paul mentions saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. If you had that many witnesses who personally saw him alive, you think he rose from the dead? I mean, I believe he did. I believe he did rise from the dead, just like all those people testified that he did. But of course, there's still people who deny it, even to this very day. It is important that Jesus did rise from the dead, and this passage that we just read shows us why. If you notice verse 13 and verse 16, it says in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. So if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then that means our Savior is still dead. Now, if Jesus is still dead, what hope do we have? We don't have any hope if Jesus is still dead. See, our hope of eternal life and forgiveness of sins and our own resurrection, it's all linked to him. But if he didn't rise from the dead, if he's still dead, if he's still laying in the tomb, we have no hope at all, because a dead Savior saves no one. All right, notice verse 14 and verse 15. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that means our Savior is still dead. It also means if he didn't rise from the dead, then the preaching of the gospel is all in vain. That's verse 14 and 15. Because if Jesus is still dead, then every apostle, think about this now, if Jesus is still dead, if he's still in the tomb, then every apostle, every missionary, every evangelist, every pastor, every preacher, every teacher, every witness for our Lord, every one of them are false witnesses and liars. How many churches today you think are talking about the resurrection? Probably all of them. Now, I didn't see this because I got here really early, and besides, I don't drive to church. I walk to church. I have no excuse, you know. I just got to walk over here. But anyway, I was told by someone who came down this road that up here at the Lutheran church, their parking lot was packed. You think they're talking about the resurrection today? I bet they are. I bet they are. Across the road from them, of course, is the Lakeview Church. You think they're talking about the resurrection today? Sure. In fact, all over our city today, you know, out here on 51, Good Shepherd by the Lake, they're probably talking about the resurrection. In fact, you can drive by their property and you see three crosses on the hillside. It's reminding us about the crucifixion week And today, of course, is the resurrection. And all through our city over here with the Methodist churches and the Lutheran churches and Catholic and whatever else is here, out here at Utica, you think Bible Baptist Church is talking about the resurrection? I bet they are. We can go all over the United States today. I would guarantee you that there might be one or two that aren't, but I bet they all are talking about the resurrection today. Just think about this now. Every missionary, every evangelist, every apostle, every disciple, every preacher, every teacher, every witness, every one of them are nothing but a bunch of liars and false witnesses if our Savior is still dead. But you know what? He's not dead. He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive. And I thought about this too. If Jesus is still dead, and all of us that I just mentioned are all liars, why should anyone ever listen to the gospel, believe the gospel, and get saved? Because the Savior is still dead. But he's not dead. See, that's the thing. He's not dead. And this is Paul's argument as he's going through this letter with the church at Corinth. So if Jesus is still dead, if he didn't rise from the dead, our Savior is still dead. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the preaching of the gospel is vain. Thirdly, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the faith of every Christian is totally vain and empty, and we're still in our sins. Notice verse 14 and verse 17. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Think about all the things we believe as believers. So many of the things that we believe are linked to the resurrection. But if our Savior didn't rise from the dead, then all the things that we believe are all empty and useless and meaningless. All the abuse that Christians go through in their lifetime, I realize in America we're spoiled. We don't go through much abuse here, but there are places throughout the world that Christians go through tremendous amount of abuse, some of them even to the point of being beheaded. All of that is in vain if Jesus is still dead. It's all in vain. Why would anyone give their life for Christ if that Christ is still dead? You do that for nothing. But of course, the good news is our Savior is not dead. He's alive. And that's why they do it. That's exactly why they do it. Every once in a while from this pulpit, I'll mention Brother Sisk. I just saw his picture in a part of a meeting, forget now where it was, but with other pastors and so forth. And there he was, standing in the front row, being taken a picture of, and he's in his 90s, still preaching the gospel fervently. Why would he do that if the Savior wasn't alive? But it's because the Savior is alive that he continues to do that. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then our Savior is still dead. Then the preaching of the cross and the gospel is in vain. Then the faith of every Christian is totally vain and empty. We are still in our sins, if that's true. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you ready for this? Everyone who's already died is not in heaven. They're in hell. Look at verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, and that's just a gentle way of describing someone who's already passed on, okay? It's not talking about those who got their belly full and they're sleeping in church. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are, what's the word? Perished. Perished. That word perished refers to being in hell, being in torments, being in agony. If any man be in Christ, he doesn't have to worry about that. But if Christ is still dead, well, then everybody who's already died in Christ, they're all perished. In 1973, my dad showed me how to get saved, and I got on my knees, and I trusted Christ as my Savior, and it's changed my life. Of course, many of you here know this already, but in the last couple of years, my mother passed away, my father passed away. I've already lost a brother, and I've already lost a sister, and I have another sister who's about to enter heaven. And there are others, of course, that you and I know, and I was thinking this week about different funerals that I've presided over of members here and all these different folks. And it's, you know, well into the scores of people that I've had the privilege of doing the services for, all those people that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and died. If Jesus is still dead, those folks aren't in heaven. Those folks would be in hell. I sure am glad Jesus rose from the dead, aren't you? Because those folks are not in hell today. Those folks are in heaven today. And that brings us comfort and that brings us hope. And that helps us to be able to go on. But again, if Jesus is still dead, anyone who trusted him as Savior, they're not enjoying the glorious things in heaven, but instead are suffering in the torments of hell, lost forever, never to be reunited with their loved ones in that place called heaven. Man, I'm glad our Savior rose from the dead. So much depends on that. One more thing I want to show you, and this will come from verse 19. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then Christians are the most miserable, misled people in all the world. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I do believe that what the Apostle Paul was referring to here is that he knows, and he taught this, he was used by God to teach us this, Christians, those who believe in Jesus as their Savior, choose to give up many carnal and worldly pleasures that would please their flesh. They give up those things in order to please their Savior in hopes that they'll enjoy one day better things in heaven. But wait a minute, if Jesus is still dead, we do all that for nothing. If Jesus is still dead, we might as well be like everybody else, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We might as well live it up right here. Have all the quote-unquote fun that you can possibly have. By the way, that's the way a lot of folks live today, isn't it? But you know, our Savior is not dead. He's alive. And you're probably like me. Many years ago, I chose to live this Christian life to try to honor my Savior, be a testimony for him, be a bright and shining light for him. Yes, I've had to give up some things, no doubt about that. But I can say this, and I'm not afraid to say this. God has changed my want-tos. A lot of things I used to want to do, I don't want to do anymore. He changed my want-tos. It sounds strange to a lot of people, but I actually want to read my Bible. I actually want to talk to him in prayer. I actually want to go to church. I actually want to live a good testimony for him. Why? Because he changed my want-tos. But again, if he's still dead, we do all this for nothing. So the Apostle Paul is giving some very important reasons here why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is such an important element of a Christian's life. Explaining what would be true if he were still dead. But notice, if you would, verse 20. I didn't read this yet, but I want to peek at it right here. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. After all those things he said in verses 9, 10, 11, 12, all the way through verse 19. After all those things, you know, if he's still dead, well then this. If he's still dead, well then this. Well, if he's still dead, well then this. But I like verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. He is alive. And he's living and working in this world. And by the way, he's living and working in my heart as well. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an important element of the gospel. It's also an important element in our faith. Number three, my last main thought this morning. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an important element in our daily life. Look at the last two verses of this chapter, would you? Verse 57 and verse 58. The Bible says here, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an important element of the gospel, of our faith, but also in our daily life. His resurrection should help us to experience daily victory. That's verse 57. Daily victory. Victory over discouragement. Victory over defeat. Victory over the world. Victory over the flesh. Victory over the devil. Victory over death itself. Yesterday we were sitting at the funeral home with Brianna. And we were with my wife and myself and Brianna. And then the funeral director, who happened to be a lady, and she was talking about different things, and somewhere in our conversation we got to this thing about, you know, me and my work and what I do, and do I enjoy what I do, and you know, ever feel like quitting and all that kind of stuff. And I made this comment. I said, there are days. And I know this is true, and I don't want anyone to be worried, because I'm not thinking about quitting or anything like that, though some of you may hope that I would be, but anyway, I'm not thinking about quitting, but to be honest, isn't it true with any job? There are days when it'd be easier to just, you know, walk away, just go do something else. There are days. Even for pastors, by the way, there are days. And the reason I bring that up is this. The reason that I cannot stop is because I serve a risen Savior. And He reminds me of that. He reminds me, you can't give up. And He reminds me often, I didn't give up on you. You shouldn't give up on me. Okay, Lord, I'll keep going. But see, we all face discouragement. We all face defeat sometimes. We all face the world, the flesh, and the devil. One day, of course, we're going to face death. But the resurrection should help us to experience daily victory over those things. His resurrection should also help us to remain steadfast. Steadfast. That's in verse 58. Steadfast. In other words, settled, secure, anchored. We should know what we believe. We should know why we believe it. We should be unshakable, securely anchored in our faith and what we believe. Steadfast. I think that word steadfast is going to be more and more important as we get closer and closer to our Lord's return. Because there is such a thing as apostasy, and that's where people leave the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I don't want to be among that number. I want to be steadfast. His resurrection should help us to experience daily victory, help us to remain steadfast. His resurrection should help us to remain unmovable. That's verse 58. Unmovable. That just means we're not going to budge from what we believe. Are you like me? I hope you are. But I got saved 51 years ago. As far as I can tell, the Bible still reads exactly the same 51 years later. Amen. So why should my beliefs change? My belief should be unmovable. I should be kind, I should be loving, I should be compassionate. But when it comes to what the Bible says, I should be firm and unmovable. I'm not going to budge from my position. It's kind of like this, a heavenly stubbornness. Huh? A heavenly stubbornness to hang on to what you believe because you know it comes from God's word. His resurrection should help us to experience daily victory, help us to remain steadfast, help us to remain unmovable. His resurrection should help us to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's also verse 58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That word abound right there means to be in excess in quality and quantity. To be in excess in quality and quantity concerning the work of the Lord. In other words, to overabound in His work. To give it our all. Doesn't Jesus deserve our very best? He does, doesn't He? To give Him our very best. And then His resurrection should help us not only to experience daily victory, remain steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, but His resurrection should help us to remember that our labors are not in vain. Verse 58. labors for the Lord are never lost labors. It doesn't matter if you're cleaning the bathrooms. Labors for the Lord are never lost labors. Labors for the Lord, it doesn't matter if you're playing the piano, singing a song, preaching the sermon, teaching a class, vacuuming the carpet, picking up things in the yard, coming for a church work day. It doesn't matter. Labors for the Lord are never lost labors. Why? Because it's for God and His work. It might seem like lost labors to the unsaved, but God doesn't see it that way. God doesn't see it like the world does. Sacrifices, services, sufferings for the cause of Christ will all be rewarded one day. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an important element of the gospel, important element in our faith, an important element in our daily life. I said as I started this lesson today, or this message, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is without doubt one of the foundational truths of our Christian faith. It's important to the gospel, it's important to our faith, it's important to our daily life. I want to encourage you this. Let's believe it with all of our heart. Let's defend it with all of our might. Let's proclaim it to others as long as we've got some breath. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the way, let me give you this little bit of good news. That same risen Savior is coming back just like He left. We ought to be looking up all the time, expecting His return. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, how very important that very special Bible truth is. Not just to the gospel, not just to our faith, but also to our daily life. Heavenly Father, thank You for the fact that we can be together on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and focus our attention on the most important truth of all. That is that Jesus died, was buried, and then the third day rose again, just like He said. As I started the service today, I read from Matthew 28, and the angel saying to the women, "He is not here. He is risen as He said." Later on in that same chapter, it says, "Go tell His disciples." Each one of us need to be telling others. Oh God, help us to do that. Help us to believe it ourselves, but then tell others about it as well. Bless this invitation, please. Have Your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.